Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Mike Herndon from PaulKaharsky.com. Mike, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great this morning. How are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Mike, before we kind of dive into the Titans on a deep basis here, tell us about what you're going to be doing with PK over at PaulKaharsky.com.
Yeah, so I'm going to be writing a weekly column over there. For those that aren't familiar with my work, I've been writing about the Titans for, this will be my fifth season, going back to MusicCityMiracles.com and Broadway Sports. I tend to get into deep dives as far as analytics, film study, that kind of thing. So looking at the game from that angle and trying to bring some unique insights that you know, maybe aren't everywhere else in the media with regards to the team. So that's the goal anyways, and that'll be that my column will be running every Wednesday at PaulKaharsky.com.
So Kaharsky said he tried to get you a year ago, Mike. He was successful now. Was he like, when he talked to you this year, was he just like, was he less irascible? You know, was he more tolerable? I mean, we like to rip Kaharsky on the show. So, you got to be willing to jump in on that.
Yeah. You know, it's, we did talk last year and I decided, you know, to retire and hang up the keyboard, so to speak, instead. But he coaxed me out of retirement this time around, and I appreciate him doing it. I was kind of itching to do it, but yeah, he came and pulled me out.
That PK can be very persuasive, no question about it. So Mike, your first column at PaulKaharsky.com is now up, and it focuses in on the Titans pass rush. I don't want you to give the whole column away. People can go check that out at PaulKaharsky.com. But generally speaking, how do you view the pass rush and the returners that the Titans have to their lineup this year, a position especially at outside linebacker where I think you're feeling okay about the depth?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a fascinating question to me because, you know, if you look at some of these advanced metrics like pass rush win rate, which is always a hard word for me to say for some reason, you know, the Titans ranked really low. I mean, in the 20s, generally in most of those metrics, which, you know, the idea is that they're measuring how the rate at which a defender beats his block and is able to get into the backfield within 2.5 seconds of the snap. So that's kind of the standard baseline. And the Titans ranked really low in those metrics, but they did have 43 sacks, which ranked ninth in the NFL. And, you know, generally, I think if you ask most people what drove the Titans defense to, you know, skyrocket in performance from what was a dreadful 2020 to a pretty good 2021, most people would say an improved pass rush. And I think they would be right in saying that. A lot of people point to DeNico Autry, you know, some contribution from Bud Dupree, although I don't think we saw anywhere close to 100% Bud for most of last year. So, and I think that's fair. But the reason that I believe that those metrics are so kind of divergent there is the Titans pass rush in a pretty unique way as a team. And it is truly a team effort. Like, whereas, you know, I think these metrics generally reward teams that have guys like Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald who are just going to line up and destroy the guy in front of them on a play-in and play-out basis. The Titans tend to be more of a hunt and packs kind of pass rush. They like to run games. They like to run stunts. They like to run simulated pressures at what is really an outlier kind of level in the league. Outperformed or I guess outused simulated pressures by I think 10% over the next nearest team, which is a pretty huge jump when you're looking at something like that last year. And what those simulated pressures are is basically bringing a blitzer from the second level and replacing that blitzer with a dropping defensive tackle or edge rusher So you're still having seven in coverage, but you're getting the effect of a blitz by overloading or trying to confuse the offensive line. So it's something that they were very effective in, and Harold Landry specifically leads the NFL in unblocked pressures over the last 3 years now. So it's something that they're very successful at, but those unblocked pressures don't count towards metrics like pass rush win rate. And I think that's really kind of the reason for that big split.
On the other side of the line of scrimmage, Mike, what do you think about what the Titans have going at, in particular at right tackle and left guard? Is this the biggest concern on the team?
I think it probably is, yeah. Because if it was just one spot, you know, I kind of feel like you can hide one weak spot on the offensive line to some degree. I mean, David Questenberry was okay last year and probably played surprisingly well considering what the expectations were for him. I mean, he wasn't even considered to be a really main part of that group competing at right tackle heading into training camp last year. But he wasn't very good in pass protection, and they had to do a lot to hide him. And frankly, Roger Saffold wasn't very good in pass protection either, some of that being because he was banged up for most of the year, and some of it just being I think he's starting to lose a little bit in his older age as these injuries continue to pile up. So from that standpoint, I think, you know, as far as clearing the bar of last year's unit, the bar isn't super high, especially from a pass blocking standpoint. But, you know, that's all obviously not the standard. They were really bad as a pass blocking group last year, and they need to be better if they want Ryan Tannehill to have, you know, get back to those 2019 and 2020 kind of passing numbers that he was putting up. So, yeah, Brewer, Raidens, you know, Nicholas Petit-Frere, DeMarco Jones, I don't think anybody can really tell you for sure what those guys are going to be at this point. There's obviously some interesting skill sets and things like that, but yeah, that's a huge question mark heading into the season as far as what that group's going to be able to do from both a pass protection and run blocking standpoint.
Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Rhodes. So Mike, as you look at Treylon Burks, obviously the narrative on him has shifted pretty dramatically over the last couple of weeks from the out-of-shape stuff in minicamp, and now he's been the story of training camp so far from the Titans. I'm just interested from your vantage point, looking at his size and his play speed that he brings to the table, how equipped do you think he is really from day one in this league to handle the different types of coverages and different types of corners he's going to see in this league?
Yeah, I think he's got a really interesting skill set, you know, and I know the A.J. Brown comp has been thrown out there a lot, but the more I watch him in, you know, kind of these training camp videos you see out there, and you know, that's not everything, but you see, or at least I see, little shades of Nuke Hopkins to me, because you see the, you know, not to focus in on just the pushing off, but you see him kind of get physical with corners. And that's something that Nuke Hopkins has really made a career of. And frankly, you know, I looked at the numbers as far as offensive pass interference calls go, and they averaged like 0.28 per game last year. So to me, and I've felt this way for years now, if I'm an offensive coach, I'm telling my wide receivers, be as physical as you want to be. And if you get open, you know, five times in a game and you get called for one of these OPIs maybe once every two or three games, I'll take that trade-off all day long. And I just don't think that's going to be something that's called a lot. And his physicality, I think, is going to translate to the NFL level. There's just not a lot of corners that are going to be able to deal with 6'3", and, you know, whatever he's weighing this particular day. I think they list him at 225, but, you know, reports from I guess Albert Breer and people like that have said that he was playing closer to like 230, 240 at Arkansas last year. You know, there's going to be a balance there from a weight standpoint, but he's going to be a load to handle for NFL corners right out of the gate. And it'll be interesting to see how he kind of adapts to guys that are willing to get physical with him and other guys who, you know, maybe, you know, can play off of him and then just run with him. So there's going to be some interesting matchups to see kind of how he does translate to the NFL game. But, you can't help but be really excited about what we've seen and heard from Treylon Burks' training camp so far.
Yeah, I agree. And I swear at times, definitely at times, you see some arm extension. It's like, yeah, that might get called. But I think other times it's just people bouncing off him, you know, and you assume it's OPI. Now, I guess that could get him too, but his physicality is jumps off the field, no doubt. So, Mike, continuing on the passing game, how much of a difference do you think Tim Kelly can make? How much of a difference does he need to make?
I think he can make a fairly significant difference. I really thought what Tim Kelly did with Deshaun Watson when he took over as the play caller there was excellent. I mean, because if you looked at that Texans roster, yes, Deshaun Watson was an excellent quarterback for them, but they had a bottom 5-10 offensive line, and they had Brandon Cooks, but this was, he took over the year after they traded Nuke Hopkins, so they had Brandon Cooks and not a whole lot else as far as receivers go. So he was able to make that offense hum. I mean, the results on the field, they finished 4-12 that season, but the results on the field were terrible, but the offense was absolutely cooking, and Deshaun Watson had his best year statistically of his career. So I think passing concept-wise, he's going to be able to bring some things that are different from what the Titans have done, because he is a very different play caller than what kind of the Matt LaFleur, Arthur Smith lineage to Todd Downing has been. And I think we'll probably see some more vertical attacking downfield passing concepts. And it, frankly, that fits a guy like Treylon Burks really well, who, you know, can get downfield, can use that big body to go up and make plays, downfield. So I'm excited to see what Tim Kelly can bring, and I think he does have to bring a lot, because frankly, the passing offense has not been very creative or interesting for the most part. Really, I mean, and that goes back to Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith was a really good offensive coordinator. They got great results. They absolutely destroyed people with play action passing. But drop back passing, third down passing concepts, I never thought Arthur Smith was really that great in that department. So I think adding somebody from the outside who's got some different ideas, particularly in that part of the game, is crucial for the Titans to take the next step forward offensively and kind of modernize some of that drop back passing concepts.
Well, Mike, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we're looking forward to following along at your work at paulkoharski.com. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Herndon from paulkoharski.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Start the second half of the baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I've told you about the Yankees. I'd still stick with them. I think the Braves are going to be the team to watch in the National League in the second half of the regular season. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We're in the final countdown to fall sports season, and before everyone hunkers down in the man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity, a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, August 16th. Make sure you're tuning in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game all week next week for your chance to win, presented by Blend Bar. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thanks to Mike Herndon for joining us in the last segment. Good stuff from Mike Herndon. A lot of love for him on the text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make, Joe, of what he threw out there about the Titans pass rush and the, you know, the pass rush win rate that we've talked about before here on the show. It wasn't necessarily high for the Titans last year on an individual basis, but they did get to the quarterback effectively. So as you're looking at these sort of numbers, and we've talked about that a lot, Football Outsiders has put out, you know, different pieces this year. We talked about Warren Sharp and his piece that he put out a few weeks ago about the Titans and their front seven, ranking them number 20 in the league. A lot of these are analytically based. So how do you kind of view the Titans, specifically with their front seven and their pass rush, when it comes to what the numbers say, like pass rush win rate, and then what the bottom line was in their sack total and their effectiveness at getting after the quarterback last year? And how do you think that translates with that group again heading into this year?
Well, I guess I'll go Dean Pease on you. One stat matters. How many points did they score? Right. But I think Mike did a good job of laying out how a team can have a lot of success pressuring and getting to a quarterback and sacking a quarterback and not rate well in pass rush win rate, because some teams have dominant individuals, you know, who will juice the numbers that way. You can look, think about, I'd like to know what the pass rush, and he is right, pass rush win rate, pass rush win rate.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
That's tough. Yeah. I'd like to know what that was in 2019. Titans had good pass rush numbers. I mean, I could probably look it up, but I'll just, you know, throw it out there. They had good sack numbers and everything, but that to me was such a, and this is why I thought of Dean Pease, that to me was such a schematically engineered pass rush year. You know, I mean,
you had Logan Ryan coming off the edge.
Right. So he's right. Not, yeah. So like in those situations, I don't think, by the way, those analytics are gathered that he's just coming free. Right. And so a lot, and like Mike laid out there, you know, you're overloading one side, you're zone blitzing with, you know, a D lineman dropping, a linebacker coming. And so there's just a lot of ways to do it. I will say though, that I guess between, I'm still a little surprised by the numbers just because I feel like Autry still got home sometimes where he just destroyed his guy. Simmons, same thing, right? I mean, yep. go back to the Rams game. I mean, he should have gotten like extra pass rush win rate credit just for like throwing offensive linemen at Matthew Stafford like they were, you know, toys.
Like dodgeball out there, yeah.
Yeah, right. You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Yeah, so I guess I'm still a little surprised by that. I do wonder this year if, you know, if Bud Dupree is the Bud Dupree the Titans think they signed. You know, that's the thing. You're going to make choices if you're the opponent. And a couple somebodies are going to just basically have to beat one blocker in those obvious passing situations. But ultimately, it's interesting. It kind of shows the limitations sometimes of analytics. Bottom line for me is that the Titans have a lot of different people who can rush the passer, and they have – I mean, last year it all got matched up. You had to talk about matching up coverage with rush, right? And also a D coordinator who kind of found his footing. So I think it's going to be really good this year, whether the pass rush win rate is good or not.
Well, I mean, yeah, Jim Schwartz added in there last year that wide nine technique. I mean, the Titans got a versatile defense out there, baby. Jim Schwartz bringing a lot to the table last year, if you ask a lot of Titans fans.
Well, look, I think I'm sure Jim Schwartz helped. I mean, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he helped, but I do think that's a good transition to Tim Kelly, because I think there's just a difference, and maybe I just can't get over the word coordinator, but I just, even on the field, to me it looks like he's more of an actively involved part of coordinating all this stuff. Again, he has the title of coordinator, pass game coordinator. Whereas Schwartz, to me, still came off as someone who is there for really experienced and valuable eyes on everything and advice and help. But I feel like Kelly is just a bigger ad. And I thought Herndon did a great job of explaining. And I tell you what he said right there, I'm seeing it in camp. The vertical emphasis. Absolutely, I'm seeing that. Sometimes it's just as simple as you're in team. Tannehill has choices. You know, it's still the quarterback going through reads, progressions, but I just feel like they've done a lot to really push the ball down the field, and they've done it pretty well.
Do you feel like the Titans in the last couple of years from a concept standpoint? I'm not talking production, and I'm not talking the system, but just from a concept standpoint with their passing game, have been maybe a little bit too vanilla. We heard Mike Herndon talking about it, even dating back to Arthur Smith, of, you know, when it's straight up drop back passing, third down, you got to have it first down on that play. Like, maybe not as creative, maybe not as, you know, as multiple in their concepts as he would have expected or hoped for. Do you agree with that? And do you think that, you know, I don't think their system's going to change much this year. Like, I think you're going to see more two tight ends this year than we saw a year ago, because I think that lines up well with what the strength of the team is. But within that, how much room for growth from a conceptual standpoint is there in the passing game in your mind?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think what he said makes sense. I'm not going to, you know, pretend that I sit in the press box and say, man, that route concept was so bad. Now, we all did say that on the first pick of the game last year, right, against Cincinnati.
Yes.
Like, there's some things that are obvious, like, you know, there should be a route that tries to draw that safety who made the pick over here, and there wasn't. And same thing with the – was that second? Yeah, it was the second pick. Same thing with the second pick in terms of predictability. It was completely read and known from the start what they were going to do there, and he was right, and he tipped it, and he picked it. And so – now, that's a little bit different than what you're talking about. You're talking about downfield route concepts and stuff. But, I mean, I think it makes sense. I still think the biggest issue overall last year was the drop-off in pass protection. I think that stressed everything, and you start out with that first game and what it did. But, I think what he said makes sense. And it just, to me, it's like it's always good to have different ideas. This is why I'm just – I think it's great. Vrabel so far has, for the most part, he's hired his guys, people he trusts, people he's worked with. But I think fresh eyes really can be valuable too. You know, you got to be good at finding the right people who will fit in with you and all that stuff. Now, with Kelly, he has history with him. But even like LaFleur in his first year, that's someone that Vrabel was working with for the first time. Worked out pretty well. It wasn't like gangbusters, but they were also, I mean, there were some things that they had to figure out with that offense, and it got better. But to me, like, people from different systems coming together and melding, if they can actually work well together, you should be able to get better results and have more creativity.
So yesterday we got Joe Rex Rhodes' rookie report. Today we'll get his thoughts on maybe some veterans that are in the most jeopardy of not making the team this year. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So we'll get to some veterans here in just a few minutes that could be in danger of maybe losing a roster spot, or maybe at the very least losing some playing time. I do want to get to this thought that Mason has on YouTube, though. It says, every media member talks trash about the offensive line, but they are literally in the middle of blocking for Derrick Henry, who's in the middle of the best 30-game span in NFL history. Most yards ever. Please talk about Derrick Henry. He has 3,000 rushing yards over his last season and a half. It never happens in the NFL, and y'all never talk about it. Not just you, but nobody talks about it. This is from Mason on YouTube.
Okay, so another, but so as it relates to the offensive line, then is that what?
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, but remember, there's two different jobs, right? I mean, there's two different jobs for the offensive line. The offensive line, I thought last year was good, run blocking. It's been good. Look, I've said this: the 2019 offensive line, which was a complete disaster early in the season, just like the offense was, totally transformed. Lawan comes back. Nate Davis figures it out as a rookie. All that stuff. Jack Conklin plays his best football since the ACL. All that went together. Derrick Henry was incredible. The end, it's one of the greatest stretches for a running back I've ever seen. Those two playoff games, but also the game at Houston. He also, like, that offensive line does not get nearly the credit it deserves for what it did at that point. It had become something special. by the end of the year. And that's the last, and then that offensive line never was together again because Conklin, you know, they didn't sign Conklin, but they've been really good. So I agree. As a run blocking offensive line, no doubt. I think the Titans have been excellent. I think like with Raiden's in terms of run blocking, what I'm seeing, and it's there's limitations to what you can take away from these practices so far, but I think he can be good and I think probably better than Questenberry in that way. My question is, it's just pass protection. It's still, I mean, Tannehill has got to have more support in that way this year, in my opinion, for the offense to really take a step. I think and this is now changing the subject a little bit, but I think the weapons around him it's been very encouraging. I still wonder about pass blocking, but that's not Derrick Henry, right? I mean, you can be really good at one thing and not at the other. Like last year, think about the game at New England. That was elite run blocking. I don't think they were ever elite pass blocking last year. And as Mike Herndon pointed out, they're near the bottom of the league in the analytics in terms of pass blocking, and that was a big departure from the past couple of years.
Well, and everybody's talking about the offensive line being a question mark this year. I mean, part of that is because it's not the same. I mean, Roger Saffold is gone, and you got to figure out if Dylan Raiden's is good enough at right tackle. Like, Roger Saffold, and I think Mike Herndon laid it out pretty well, he had limitations pass blocking. He was an excellent run blocker. So whether it's Aaron Brewer or whoever's at left guard, can you come close to replicating what he brought to the table in the run blocking game? Because if you can't, I mean, you can't tell me that's not going to have some impact on Derrick Henry. I'm not going to say Derrick Henry is going to go from 2,000 yards to 950 if he stays healthy because Saffold's not there, but it'll have some impact if you're not close to replicating that on the offensive line. So that to me is more the conversation this year. It's yes, they got to get better in pass blocking from a year ago, but it's more about, you know, the two positions that they're trying to replace right now, the unknown that's there.
Right. And that's the thing. I think it's just hard to expect them to be as good in run blocking as they were at left guard. That's not realistic. Again, I think maybe at right tackle, maybe. It is at least they were probably weakest. Well, though Nate Davis started, that's the thing. If you have Lawan, vintage Lawan, and you have Nate Davis translating what he said about his health and weight and all that stuff to the field, then right there, like, you are better, I think. So you could be better overall. And you weren't exactly strong in terms of pass blocking at left guard, right tackle last year either. So, I mean, it's not hopeless. But you got to find those starters and hope that they're starter quality and that also that you're not mixing and matching all year long.
So, Joe, yesterday you gave us your report on the rookies for the Titans so far at training camp. As you look at some of the veterans on this group, who comes to mind as to maybe who's in the most danger of potentially losing a roster spot or at the very least, you know, losing out on some playing time to some younger guys coming into the league?
Yeah, we've talked some about Brett Kern. I'm keeping an open mind. I think Brett Kern's going to be the punter this year, but I'm keeping an open mind. Ryan Stonehouse can boom it. You got to be it's not just a driving off the tee competition, right? I mean, it's Brett Kern, as we know, is an artiste in terms of ball placement. But I still think that's worth watching. And he took a pay cut, and we're heading in that direction. So something to watch for sure to see if Stonehouse can be absolutely great, like in those preseason games thing. That's when those games really mean a lot for someone like him. An actual game situation, lights are on, you know, what can you do? Look, I mean, when you talk about making the team, I think like a Laurell Murchison is in a battle. Third year, he's been a solid player. When he's been healthy, he's been a solid player. He's had some injuries. But you've got guys up front. Starting with the guy we've talked about already, DeMarcus Walker. It's undeniable that he has made an impact on the coaching staff and he has a chance to make this team and maybe have a role. I've seen some good things from Kevin Strong. So there's a guy who I think is fighting. I would say, you know, Chris Jackson at corner, with Buster Skrine retiring, you know, I think he's going to be on this team. But I also think that right now there's four guys clearly ahead of him, which brings me to another veteran, quote-unquote. I mean, it's only his second year. But Elijah Molden, we'll see if he comes back today, if he comes back soon. As he misses time and as Roger McCreary plays well, you know, I think you got a real potential competition in the slot. And you know, again, I'm not ruling out McCreary on anything. He could potentially compete with Farley too. But right now, I would probably look at him more as competition in the slot for Elijah Molden. Another guy who is a really important veteran we haven't talked much about, but a guy who, you know, I feel like he's often dealing with a nick here or there, like kind of like Saffold did, kind of like Ben Jones does. But a guy who is really important, and what you need is you need guys like this to not, you know, like fall off. They need Danico Autry to follow up last season with a similar kind of season. And it's, you know, I've seen him limping around a little bit out there. And I just wonder, you know, 32 years old, is a drop off coming at some point for him. You know, it happens at different times. He's put in a lot of snaps, a lot of really good years in this league. He was tremendous last year. He was the pickup of the offseason. They need that again. And I'm keeping an eye on him. You know, when you really keep an eye on him is when the season starts, but they really need him to get over the nicks and bruises and be available.
Well, I talked about that in the offseason. Like, he's a guy that he was so good last year and he was so important that I think people just think that he's going to come back in and replicate that. And I hope that he does. But he's 32. And we see it in this league, really at every position, you know, other than quarterback. When you start to get into your early to mid-30s, things can go the other way quickly on you. I mean, Julio Jones, think about how quickly it went the other way on him. Now we'll see if, you know, being around the magic healing waters of Tom Brady can help him this year down in Tampa Bay. But like Danico Autry, he had 9 sacks last year, but even beyond just the sack total, which is great, he matched a career high with 9 sacks. He was just so disruptive last year. Like, he needs to be close to that again. I'm not saying he needs to have 9 sacks. You know, if Danico Autry was every bit as disruptive this year as he was last year and he ended up with 6 sacks, I'd probably take that right now if I'm the Titans. But I do, and we brought this up in the offseason, I do wonder at the age of 32, could there be a drop-off coming for him? And if there is, what does that mean for this defense as a whole? Because he was so crucial. You know, obviously Jeffrey Simmons was the most important piece, but Autry was probably right underneath him last year in terms of just crucial pieces to this defense.
No doubt. I do think that maybe they will have an opportunity to rotate a little bit more. You know, if Walker is going to continue his strong offseason, I mentioned strong, you know, Murchison in that battle, of course. But like look at Tier Tart. I mean, I think he's been a heck of a find for them. He was banged up a lot last year. Then Naquan Jones came into the mix and really, I thought, gave them some terrific snaps, some really good performances. You know, both those guys, can they both take a step this year and be better? Because then I think you can rotate a little bit more and maybe take a little bit of a load off to Nico Autry. I don't know what, you know, I don't know, like, if Harold Landry is looking at that too. But I'm watching Rashad Weaver out there. Again, this isn't like a veteran who's going to lose time because he doesn't want to. But maybe this is a veteran with Landry and with Dupree, who because of Weaver and what I think he could bring, might actually be able to have a little bit of the load taken off of them. Landry in particular, as we know, I mean, he plays just about every snap. So real quick on the text line. I wanted to get to this because we're talking about the pass rush. Dwight says, so 9 sacks in the Cincinnati game wasn't good. Dwight in Kentucky. No, I mean, that's not the, you know, the point is just trying to project ahead, you know, what they're going to be. Obviously, that was a dominant performance. There's nothing else you can say. 9 freaking sacks. Now, granted, let's also remember that Cincinnati offensive line was like Nick Saban's tin horn, right?
And, well, that
and
goes
the
back.
Titans were the yes. thing going through it.
Yes. Well, it was also, you know, we were talking about pass rush win rate at the time, and that does not factor in the playoff game either. So I do wonder, right, like, if you factored in that playoff, like, Titans, the pass rush win rate in that game,
they end up
going to jump them up in the top 10. Yeah.
They're 6th in the NFL after that game. Won every single time.
That's right. Every snap on the other side.
Every player.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Make sure you check this out as well. We've been talking about this the last few days. School is back in session for a lot of people. It's coming back in session for some others in the next few weeks. And there are way too many children in Middle Tennessee who don't have the same opportunity for new shoes as others. And they're living in homelessness and don't have the resources to spend on shoes and clothing. And we're trying to change that here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We've partnered with Souls for Souls to raise enough money to buy a pair of new shoes for the thousands of children in Middle Tennessee who need our help. $20 is all it takes. So please consider helping us and doing the right thing. Text donate to 615-737-1025. Once again, that's donate to 615-737-1025. It only takes a few minutes to change a life. Once again, text donate to 615-737-1025 and try to help us out. Thank you so much for your support. We've seen a lot of people do that over the course of the last few days. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make sure you check out Nashville's Deal of the Week. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages gives you the best views of the city with skyline kayaking, river scavenger hunts, and a party pontoon with your own captain as well. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. We're talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Discussing veterans maybe in jeopardy of not making the team, maybe in jeopardy of losing some playing time as well. So, Joe, we've gone through the Roger McCrary side of this, maybe pushing Elijah Molden in the slot. We'll see what happens with Denico Autry. Can he stay healthy? You know, Laurel Murchison in a battle on the defensive line. Are there any other veterans that come to mind for you that maybe you're in some danger when it comes to maybe losing some playing time or losing a role on this team?
Well, you know, I don't know about losing role. I mean, again, I think some of these are things you want to happen. I mean, you want to have some support. I mean, a guy like, well, there's one guy who we weren't sure was going to be here when the season ended. In fact, I would have guessed no. Taylor Lewan was asked about it, but it was like, yeah, I mean, he's got to come back, and he did. But I definitely would have guessed, and I think we talked about it, like Ben Jones would not have been here after the season ended. It worked out that he is. I think that's important for the Titans. He's also a guy. He's missed some time now and maybe a plan. I don't know. That's something you always have to keep in mind with Vrabel. You know, I think maybe Dupree the other day. Well, we'll see today. Was Dupree just a planned maintenance day? That'd be my guess, and maybe that's just what Ben Jones has missed too. But we know he's been hurt a lot. That guy rallies time and time again from this or that injury. You know, with a Ben Jones, there's a, you know, you got to think about backup center and next center too with the Titans. So that's not exactly what you're asking, but I do think of him. He's going to be on for every snap that he's healthy this year, okay? But who is the next center? I think that Aaron Brewer, although I think he's the starting left guard this year, maybe could be the next center for the Titans.
I think he is.
You know, I think that might be, and obviously that's a spot where, of the five, that's where his size fits best, right? I mean, he's comparable with centers in the league. He's very small for a guard, but that's something to keep in mind. And maybe this year, you know, by the way, on that front, you know, Daniel Munyer on IR now. Now he's struggled anyway, and he continues to struggle with snaps. And Brewer, like last year in camp, was like, yeah, they got to get somebody else in different, but. Now Munyer's on IR, so Willie Wright's in, but, you know, but, and I don't know, you know, how much impact.
That's Joe Rexrode reported yesterday, by the
That's,
way.
That's, oh, there you go. That's right. Thank you. Thank
From
you,
From the
sir.
Athletic.
And we got
com.
To see it live in person.
That's right. You did. Very exciting stuff, right? So I don't know if he'll matter, but that's important. You know, you have, I think you have swing guys at different spots in the offensive line. You got to, you know, you got to be ready for Ben Jones to possibly get hurt. And then, of course, if he does, you presume it's Brewer, and then it's Jamarco Jones in there. Other than that, you know, how about tight end? Jeff Swaim. I think Jeff Swaim. I look at Tommy Hudson, who comes back. now, off PUP early in camp, and I thought he looked pretty good the other day. And I think Jeff Swaim is, you know, right now he's a starter. He's got a role. But I do look at a Tommy Hudson, a younger guy, and wonder if maybe he could take some of his snaps. The good thing at tight end is that you actually have options. You know, they've addressed it. They didn't address it enough a year ago. They've addressed it now. So there's actually competition for snaps, and that's going to be interesting. And it kind of goes along with talking about passing concepts and Tim Kelly and all this stuff. Two tight ends and what you can do out of that. It's when the Titans were at their best under Arthur Smith. Did they go to that way more this year? I think they at least have the personnel to be able to do that.
Well, you know, Jeff Swaim, he had some Ole blocks to begin the year last year. I mean, we had Corey Curtis on one time, and like Corey Curtis spent half the preseason and first part of the regular season, I think, just watching Jeff Swaim every play, which was awesome. I loved it when Corey got on and talked about it. I do think he got better as the season went on. You know, he's never going to be some game changer in the passing game, but he made some big catches for the Titans last year. I think the real question is, like, can Tommy Hudson usurp Jeff Swaim in this conversation? Like, can he play himself into a role where he's taking some snaps away? And if so, like, that goes back to the question we've asked a few times, are the Titans going to be keeping four tight ends this year? I think probably, but I'm interested to see how that works out.
Usurp. Nice word, man. Well,
that's
done.
That's an MTSU word right there.
Well, I think they will keep four. By the way, did I change my depth chart? I want another change in my depth chart. I should have had Hudson in there. I should have had Hudson. I had Bradley Moore as a fourth. I just, at this point, I don't know, man. I'm not seeing a ton there. I think Tommy Hudson is probably the choice, and I do think they'll keep four at that spot. So, yeah, like, the depth is pretty good there. At all these spots, a D-line, good depth.
What about at linebacker with Monty Rice being out? Has Dylan Cole, anyone caught your eye there so far?
I mean, not especially. Not that they're and when you don't catch someone's eye, that also means you're not making glaring mistakes. But, you know, he's in there. And I think Chance Campbell as a rookie, I think that could be a good pickup. I like his chances to be on the team.
I also think that position, though, Joe, in training camp, it's not the same as the offensive line and defensive line, but it's similar from the standpoint that, like, so much of your responsibility as a linebacker is finishing the play and driving somebody to the ground, and you just don't see that in training camp.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to get a great read right now, but those are the spots, you know, linebacker and safety, where you know that you are looking at a pretty big drop off if your starters, any starters, get hurt. And, you know, Zach Cunningham, one thing I've noticed with him is at times, man, he is in the backfield, you know, at the snap of a finger. I mean, he's looked really active to me. He has gotten victimized some in pass coverage. That's one thing you can watch with linebackers. Although, honestly, even on some of those plays, I've thought that he had pretty decent coverage. One time Henry beat him, but I actually thought he did a pretty good job. Now, remember, that's Derrick Henry. You know, you expect you're gonna have other backs who are a little bit shiftier and better route runners, but I also think Derrick Henry's gotten better at that. But those guys, for what they, you know, what you can see, look like they're going to be a really good combo. Yeah, I don't know after that. And also, I mean, Monty Rice, Monty Rice is going to be on this team this year, of course, but it would be good for him, good for the Titans, to be able to see him out there because they need to see progress. It's a guy they spent, you know, a third-round pick on a year ago.
Well, okay, let's talk about that for a second because we've talked about the draft picks that have taken place for the Titans that haven't worked out. Let's think about a few of their third-round picks. I'll start with Malik Willis. I think it's a good pick. It's worth the risk at the time. It's going to be a process with Malik Willis, and it may work out one day. It may not. He's kind of different. But you did have Darrington Evans in the third round, and you got Monty Rice in the third round as well. Like, you need one of these third-round picks to work out for you. It's not a first-round pick, and it's not going to get, like, the sexy headlines that they do, but still a relatively high pick. Like, you need a third round pick to work out for you if you're the Titans.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. We focus so much on the higher picks, but you can get a lot of good football players, you know, at that spot. I mean, and it's interesting, you know, they made that pick, and you kind of knew that that Brown and Evans might be not long for Nashville. You did not know the Cunningham thing was going to emerge. Had you known that, would you have still picked Monty Rice? I have my doubts.
Probably not. That would be my guess. But, hey, I guess.
But you need depth, too. And so you need him to be good depth right now.
There was a nice video out of Falcons training camp the other day of Rashawn Evans trailing behind Kyle Pitts in coverage for about 7 yards. And
was that all?
It's not great stuff from Rashawn Evans in that rep. Nice throw by Mariota, though. Hit a wide open receiver. Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he can complete a pass. That's good. You've seen video evidence of it. Congrats.
We have. Coming up next, we'll get into the Vols, including a piece that Joe Rexroad is just teething with excitement on that is now out at theathletic.com. We'll get to that next as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.